නමෝ තස් භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස් භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස් භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස. Today we are going to talk about how to regard the past, future and present in Vipassana practice. Some of you may feel puzzle. Some people may have even the question, why do we ever need to talk about past and future in Vipassana? It is quite a popular notion, understanding, thinking that Vipassana practice is only related to the phenomena that is occurring currently. But is that the case? Is that the whole understanding about Vipassana? Okay. So today I show you from our Dhamma Earth Chanting book, the Vipassana instruction given by the Buddha in Anattalakkhana Sutta. And later, we shall go into the understanding of the popular understanding people understand from Parikaratagata, live in the present moment. Many understand this as from the superficial wording of the Gatha, thinking that that is what the Buddha means in Vipassana, means you take wholeheartedly the current object. Today we will check ourselves. Is this the actual meaning of the Buddha? Okay, now look at this anatta. When we talk about past, we talk about future, we talk about present. Let's look at this sutta, Anattalakkhana Sutta. The first part, the Buddha's in this. This is the second sutta the Buddha taught to humans. The first sutta is Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Then another one or two sutta given to devas. After that, the Buddha delivered his talk, Anattalakkhana Sutta, to the five bhikkhus. And then as a result of this sutta, the Buddha, the five monks, attained arahantship. Okay? So in this sutta, there are actually, when the Buddha talked about anatta, the Buddha approach in three stages. The first is quite clear. The Buddha is just using simple reasoning and try to understand, help everyone to understand what is anatta. We just briefly see, because these are not the main part of the talk. We are not introducing this whole sutta. So just have a brief, just see the three parts only. So for the first part, you see the Buddha say, Rupang bhikkhave anatta, Rupanja hidang bikawe atta abawisa. Naidang rupang abadaya sangwateya lebeta ca rupe ewang me rupang hutu ewang me rupang mahusiti. Yasma ca ku bikawe rupang anatta tasma rupang abadaya sangwatati naca labati rupe ewang me rupang hutu ewang me rupang mahusiti. In English translation, we try to see, enlarge it. From monks, is non-self. For if form was self, this form would not lead to affliction. And in regard to form, wishing, may this form of mind be thus, may this form of mind not be thus, would be impossible. It would be possible. But since monks, form is non-self. Therefore, form leads to affliction. And in regard to form, wishing, may this form of mind be thus, may this form of mind not be thus, is not possible. The Buddha is presenting it in a scientific way. Well, the Buddha could have just said sickness, and could have just said, I want my body not to be sick and sick. But that way could not cover all scenario regarding form, this materiality. But in this way of scientific presentation, it covers all kinds of things, affliction relating to body and in all aspects. So this way of presentation, you notice that the Buddha always used very scientific way of presentation. Just like a scientist. Why? The Buddha wanted to use it to cover all similar aspects in this manner. You notice this is our Buddha's teaching. Okay. Now, so in this, it seems a bit too technical, but you can just think of, let's say, sickness. Sickness, you cannot say, let my body don't get sick. No. Let my body be very beautiful, handsome, and not be like another way. It's not by wish you can do that. So, for that reason, if it is self, then you should be able to do that. If it's yours, you can do that. But if it is not, because if it's not yours, not ours, not mine, so we cannot say, be this way, be that way. So this is a kind of a very common way of looking at non-self. Okay. Similarly, likewise, the Buddha went to talk about feeling, perception, and volitional formations, and consciousness. So in this way, when the Buddha covered the five aggregates of clinging, he covers all experiences of human. Why? Because this is our mind and body. When non-self covers all mind and all body, feeling, perception, mental formations, and volitional formations, or consciousness, basically it covers all mentality, and rupa covers all materiality. Okay? So this covers all experiences of human. Those are five aggregates. There are beings with one aggregate, with beings, not one aggregate, of beings with four aggregates. We have that. But one aggregate is the one. Asatta, asanya, satta. But whatever it is, this is the Buddha, when refers to five aggregates, the Buddha said it is non-self. So this is one way to look at it. But this is not the main part of today's talk, so we just skip. So then secondly, the Buddha approached it again. Monks, what do you think? Is form permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, venerable sir. That which is impermanent, is it unsatisfactory or satisfactory? Unsatisfactory, venerable sir. Why? Some people say, no, the Buddha is not teaching correctly. What is impermanent can be satisfactory, because I listen to songs. When the songs change, when the music change, I find it very satisfactory. They don't understand, why the five monks answer unanimously? Because they are not referring to superficial level of impermanence anymore. When it comes to this part, it refers to ultimate. If you look at ultimate reality, from the points of even the beautiful song that changing, the lyric changing, the music changing, you find the change is nice from superficially, seems to, I like the change. Because of the change, it is satisfying to me. But if you penetrate with vipassana mind up to the ultimate reality level, what is this sound? What is this hearing process? Processes. You go deep into the deep level, all the impermanent nature of that ultimate reality is unsatisfactory. No one will say that. Anyone who practices vipassana will know. When you go to that, down to that level, the answer is only one. It must be unsatisfactory. So in this case, it is not on the conceptual level anymore. It is ultimate level. Okay? But anyway, then feeling likewise. So just cover, because this is not main part of the today's talk. Okay? Then consciousness. Then now we come to this part. The Buddha's instruction in for the deeper practice, the deeper understanding of anatta. Okay? Let's look at the Pali. Tasma tiha bikawe yang kinci rupang atita nagata pacupanna ajatang wa bhaidawa olarekang wa sukumang wa hinang wa panitang wa yang dure santike wa sabang rupang netang mama ne sohamasmi name so atati ewa metang yatha bhutang sama panyaya databang. Okay, look at the English translation. Therefore, monks, whatever form, whether past, future, or present, internal or external, coarse or fine, inferior or superior, far or near, all form is to be seen as it is with perfect wisdom thus. That is not mine, I am not that, that is not myself. Okay? So again, this is not, today we don't focus on the whole thing. These 11 ways of seeing our 5 aggregates. 11 ways of taking the 5 aggregates of clinging as object of vipassana. And there is no inference in this case. Many people believe it is inference. No, it is not inference. Look at the Pali. Sabang rupang netang mama neso hamasi name so atati ewa metang yatha bhutang samma panyaya databang. Yatha bhutang, as they are, as it is. Samma panya, with perfect wisdom, with correct wisdom, penetrate it. See to the extent, if you don't see thoroughly, you don't come to this. You have to see thoroughly to the point that you eventually, you always come back to this answer, that is not mine. That I'm not that. That is not myself. You cannot grasp. Some quantum physicists, they have a little similar understanding about this, but not thoroughly enough. After they go to analyze materiality to the quantum physics level, they also get very shocked. What is this life? Eventually, they cannot find something that is lasting, that they can call a self. Then who am I? They are asking this question. Some scientists are asking this question. Quantum physicists. A bit similar, if they read these Buddhist suttas, the Buddha's suttas, then they will find the Buddha was far ahead of time, before the science are coming to slightly closer to this level. Our Buddha, Lord Buddha, and also the yogis and arahants, even some of you here, have already come to this. When you practice the 11 ways of vipassana, some of you have experienced it, you know what the Buddha said, when you read these suttas. Now, even past, future, and present, this is for the focus of tonight. Past, future, and present. All form is to be seen as it is with perfect wisdom. Only perfect wisdom, very strong wisdom, only can see. Not superficial wisdom. a wisdom with penetrative ability, with the light of wisdom that can shine, can penetrate beyond the superficial level, then up to the subatomic level, then you can see this. And not only the materiality, mentality as well, the feeling also, past, future, and present. And perception also, past, future, or present. Same, huh? Then volitional formation also, past, future, or present. In fact, internal, external, you know? Not only internal, external as well. This is the vipassana. Then the consciousness, past, future, or present, internal, external. Sometimes people believe external is not necessary. But you look at Mahasatipatthana Sutta, all the vipassana part of the instruction of the Buddha, also internal and external. Ajjatava Bahidava, internal and external. External means other beings, other people, outside. So now, what does it mean? Why is it necessary to see so thoroughly? Why is it so necessary? Practice vipassana to this way. Didn't the Buddha sometimes talk to other people with one gatha or something, you know? And also can realize some high dhamma, and some even were enlightened. This one, Xiaoroji, Pao Xiaoroji explained very clearly. If some potential arahants, the agasavaka, or mahasavaka, the chief disciple, the great disciples. Those with great achievement, with the analytical knowledge. They have accumulated parami long, long ago in the past Buddha's era. They have achieved parami long ago. They have practiced vipassana umpteen times, again and again after Sankaraupeka. But due to their wish to be a great disciple, they could not attain enlightenment until they meet their teacher, Gautama Buddha. So, that's why their parami, their wisdom is already there. Just need a click, a stimulate, a trigger to bring out the whole store of jnanas and wisdom in their mind. So, that's how. Some people say, they don't go through vipassana. No, they go through just simple way. They can be stimulated, be triggered. The vipassana knowledge can be triggered within a short, very short period of time. Then, all vipassana comes up. So that means we need to do it the right way to achieve liberation is through seeing ultimate reality. Why? Because ultimate reality has a natural power to enlighten us. What natural power? You see? Let's look at what we ask the question another round. Why people don't get enlightened? Why people have to accumulate all the causes of suffering? Based on what? Based on the delusion, the wrong understanding of the world, of ourselves. Because the world understands the self as a permanent, as happy, as a self, as an ego, as a permanent entity. For that reason, all the defilements, all the greed, anger, delusion are built upon the wrong understanding, built upon the not unknowing state, based of the real world, the real ultimate reality. The wrong understanding, because of not seeing ultimate reality, because of seeing only one side, the conceptual world. So, with that understanding, it becomes a foundation for all defilements to arise. For the sake of I, they kill, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie, drink liquor to satisfy, to drown oneself, etc. But, so, in a reversing way, the Buddha realized, not knowing is the cause of suffering, so knowing is to cease the suffering. Because you break down the foundation on which we build our defilements, we build our causes of suffering. So now, in the Vipassana training, the Buddha taught how to see reality, the reality that we fail to see due to superficial ability, not the superficial knowing. So to see this reality, what kinds of reality is necessary? First, it's about this so-called self for whom that we commit all the causes of suffering. Try to see, who am I? This thing that I call I, myself. We have to see. But how? Past, present, past, future, present. And likewise, internally, you know yourself, you need to know the world, because sometimes our grasping is not on ourselves only. We have a lot of grasping on external world. So it is also necessary. Internal, external. So when this, just this alone, cover all, everything already. Past, future, present, internal, external. You see? You see, sometimes people suffer great cause of suffering based on past experiences, based on memory. Because of memory in the past, you killed my father, so I want to kill your father. You kill. So you see, our Chinese Kung Fu story, Kung Fu novels, that we read so much. Sometimes you just wonder, it's all about hatred, about you killing my father, and killing your father. You know? We read those novels a lot, Jin Yong, we read so much. From our childhood, we read all the Kung Fu stories, without exception, is always about revenge. About you killing my father, I want to kill your father, I want to kill your children. It's all about all the Kung Fu learning is meant for that. Only very few people learn Kung Fu for health, and maybe to protect the weak, or something. Mostly is about revenge. Fight for whole life. Why? Because they attach to this past, and some attach to future. This person may harm me in future. This person may endanger my kids, my children, my wife. So they learn all the Kung Fu to fight. So because of this grasping of past, future, present experiences, internal, external. Of course, there are other cause, five, far, near, that covers everything. So now, is it possible to see? How to see? How should we regard? If it is so important, since these past, future, present, internal, external objects end up as a cause of suffering, end up as a foundation for us to build our causes of suffering, our greed, anger, delusion, pride, jealousy. So, because of not seeing these past, future, present, internal, external, etc., those experiences, so all the causes of suffering get created. So in a reverse way, if you want to stop creating the cause of suffering, remove the motivation, remove the wrong understanding based on which we create all the causes of suffering. So now we want to see through. We want to see through this superficial level of reality until we get to ultimate levels of reality. So now, when we can do that, see what the Buddha promised. See what happened. Look at the second paragraph, the second last paragraph. The Pali, Ewang pasang bikawe setua arya sawako. Rupas mimpi nimindati, vedana yapi nimindati, sanya yapi nimindati, sangkare su Sankaresu pi nibindati. Vinyanas mipi nibindati. Nibinda virajati. Viraga vimuchati. Vimutas ming utamiti nyanang hoti. Kina jati usidang brahmacaryang katang karaniang naparang itatayati pajana titi. Okay. Look at the English translation. Seeing thus, monks, the learned noble disciple is disenchanted with form, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. Disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, he is liberated. Being liberated, there's a liberation knowledge. Thus, he understands, destroys birth. The holy life has been lived. What had to be done has been done. There is no more for this state of being. You see, because of the holding on, taking the impermanence as permanent, taking the things that has unsatisfactory in essence, in nature, you think it is satisfactory, then hold on to it, attach to it. And what is no, there's no permanent entity, we hold on as a soul. Then before that we fight, we have all the problem. We fight for it, we revenge for it, we crave for it. But eventually you realize that these things that I call self, that for eons and eons of innumerable past, beginningless past, I have been creating a lot of causes of suffering and suffer so much for it. It's not real. It is a wrong understanding. Then the mind naturally this get disenchanted. What you just like, you know, let's say you wear something very beautiful on your neck, you think it is beautiful, you feel it is beautiful, and let's say you suddenly realize it is a snake. Oh, I want to throw it away quickly. This is a simile given. So in disenchanted is like that. You feel so free. Oh, I'm free from it. Not in the, now the world, they like the sweet things. They say, oh, now we have to do bonding, especially our youth, sometimes. Sometimes they say, oh, we have to do bonding, good bonding. We can build good relationship, good metta friendship. But bonding is a way, that's why when people think about love, they always think about attachment. But sometimes we don't tell them so quickly. We let them have some time. After some time, you know, we want to tell them. We can have pure love without bonding, without binding each other. We don't want to have that. People want the bonding rapport, good feeling of being bound together. They feel good that way. But this is in fact a cause of suffering. So now when you see, this is not mine, I'm not there, that's not myself. Then it means you're free from the wrong view of self, the craving of that, and then the pride. Pride, thinking there's a myself, how great I am, or how inferior I am, whatever, etc. So now you get disenchanted. The purpose is, you see, the signs of it is very clear. The signs of vipassana is very clear. Because of not seeing, they suffer. And seeing, you don't get suffer. So now we come to the main part of tonight's talk. Past, future, and present. Why like that? Isn't it necessary? Can't I just take the present object without the past and future? Is it possible? Is it good to do that? Some people believe vipassana is only about the present. You see, I look at my present mind, my current mind. I look at my present body. And those who practice vipassana thoroughly, you really see through, really. Materiality, you can take it. When you arise, you can see. Materiality is possible. Why? The mind can take another object. When it was arising, then see at the time of arising, and it stays, and when it vanish, possible. For materiality, this is possible. You only take the, if you can take, you can take the current present object as object. But strictly speaking, when the mind, It is one mind observing another mind. So when one mind observes another mind, even when we call it present because it just arises, but to be very, very precise, we is one mind observing another mind. Because the mind is just our eyes. Our eye doesn't see itself. Our mind also. That moment of mind, it doesn't take itself as object. The mind take another mind as object. You will realize this. But still we say it is a current mind, this is a past mind. You know? So if the mind can take the object which immediately sees, just pass away. Just pass away. Just 1 second ago, half a second ago, or a split of moment ago, the science is the same. You have to see, it's seeing the record. So you can take long, the consciousness long ago, you can take that as object. Science is the same. Similarly, future also. Again, people may have doubt. How could it be? How to see the future? Future not yet happened. Past already passed. How to know? If past cannot be known, there will be no such knowledge about recollection of past lives. And know in the past how whether you look handsome or ugly or big body or big size, small size or whatever. Or how was the mind at that time? You know, there's no such thing, no such knowledge possible. How could the Gautama Buddha knew that he received prophecy during the Dipankara Buddha's time? How could he recollect all those things? Same, because the five aggregates in the past could be seen, could be known, is record. Okay? It's all in record. Similarly, the future. If the future cannot be seen, it would be impossible for Dipankara Buddha to give prophecy to Hermes Sumedha at that time, the former life of our Gautama Buddha, at the first time when he received prophecy from a Buddha. No way Dipankara Buddha could know that this Hermes Sumedha will be a Buddha sometime in future if future could not be seen. It can be seen. If you can see the future, oh, this being is going to be a Buddha in future because he has accomplished all the fundamentals, all the 8 requisites for to be a confirmed Bodhisattva. And knowing that this is confirmed Bodhisattva because he is sure, because the marriage is so powerful that it becomes irreversible, that sure he could end up as a future Buddha. So future can be seen. So now, how do we regard this? Okay, now let's look at another thing, which is another piece of teaching of the Buddha related to this living in the present moment. When in the Buddhism, when we talk about we should live in the present moment, we always derive this teaching from this gatha. Bhadekarata Gatha. We have it in our chanting book. Okay. Can we read together? It's so precious. It's such a precious teaching. So let's read together. Atitang nanwagameya napatikanke anagatang. Yada titang pahinang tang apatancha anagatang. Pachupanancha yo dhammang tata vipassati. Asang hirang asang kupang tang vidwa manu bruhaye. Ajewa kicca matapang ko janya merneng suwe. Nahino sanggarantena mahasenena macuna. Ewang wiharing ataping ahorata matanditang. Tangwe badekaratoti santo acikate muniti. Let's read the English together. Okay. One should neither follow the past nor have expectation for the future. What is past has gone, and the future not yet reached. Instead, with insight, let him see each presently arisen condition. Let him know that and be sure of it, invincibly, unshakably. Today itself, ardent effort should be made. Who knows, death may come tomorrow, for there is no bargaining with that. That is with death and its great army. One who thus dwells ardently, relentlessly day and night, the serene sage states that he is one of who has spent an auspicious night. This is a translation you get. Huh? In fact, the scholar, they still argue over what is a better translation of Bhadikarata Gata. But it seems people agree upon this. Someone who is auspicious, because you live in the present moment. It is also true, if you live in the present moment, you sleep well. Yeah, very nice. Okay. Now, what is the meaning of this Bhadikarata? Let's look at, there are three suttas, in three or four, Majjhima Nikaya. I think the writing is a bit small. We just screenshot. Okay. We may not go through the whole thing. We look at the translation only. So look at the translation. There are a few. But this one, for the first one, we read a bit more. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Sarasvati in Jeta's grove. Anathapindikata's monastery. There the Buddha addressed the monks. Monks, venerable sir, I shall teach you a passage for recitation analysis one fine night, Bhadikarata Gata. So the meaning is clear. Don't run back to the past. Don't hope for the future. What is past is left behind. The future has not arrived. Okay, this is different translation. Clearly see the phenomena in the present, unshakable, unfalterable. Okay, then there's encouragement to say now you have to work hard today. Tomorrow, how do you know? Tomorrow you may die. There's no bargain with the mara. The mara, there are many types of mara. One type of mara is the mara of death. Defilement also is called mara. This mara, death. And his mighty horse. So one who live here and now, day and night, wholeheartedly, this is one who have one fine night, they say like that. Someone who has spent the time, it means like that. So now let's look at this translation. And how do you run back to the past? You must delight in that, thinking, I had such form in the past. Yes, and such feeling, perception, choice, consciousness in the past. That's how you run back to the past. How do you not run back to the past? You don't think like that. I had such form in the past. You don't feel, find delight in that. Here it means the attachment. You don't do that. You find delight in it. Nandi. You find delight in the word. Ewang, Vedano, same. Rupa. Aho sing atita madanang ti tatha nandi sang samanva neti. Ewang sanyo aho sing. It means atita madana. It means nandi. You find delight in it. You find it like, this is mine, etc. So you just look at the translation. So you don't find delight in it. That means you find delight, you have attachment towards it. You have attachment towards the past. The Buddha didn't say that you cannot have a memory, you cannot understand the past, you cannot remember the past. The Buddha didn't say that. The Buddha also, some people, you try to see the suttas, not isolated way. You look at the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, take that as an object and with your perfect wisdom, see them as they really are, the past, future and present object. This is Vipassana instruction. And in this sutta, the Buddha say, no, don't run back to the past. The Buddha never say, don't see the past. See the difference here. It means you master delight there. Then don't run back to the past. Actually, it's attachment. It's different way of speaking about attachment. So future as well. Future. Don't run back to the future. Don't have a future. I will be like that. Some people see you all like to offer flowers, thinking that future I will be beautiful. So some people like that. Then it's attachment to the future. You can just offer with good heart, with metta, like that. But if you crave, if you offer flowers to the elders, and thinking that, idang me punya nibbana sapacaya ho tu, may this be a supporting condition for my realization of nibbana. Okay, fine. You know? But if you offering thinking that, may I be very beautiful in the future, then you are running to the future. Similarly, run to the past also, you know? I remember, you know, at one time, some old students, I don't know why, for some reason they send their younger days photograph to me. You know, one day, this is my younger days, I look beautiful. I said, now it's over, now you look ugly, you know. But still, they want to cherish, want to rekindle the feeling that, how beautiful they were when they were young. This is running back to the past. Okay? Future. And how do you falter amidst presently arising phenomena? It is when an educated ordinary person has not seen the noble one. It's one who is not trained. It means one who is not trained. In regard form as self, self as having a form, form in self, self in form. This is all technicalities. You can just put aside. This is aside. It means there are various ways of attaching to self. Various ways. Taking form as self. Some take feeling, perception, consciousness. Feeling especially, I notice. So many people hold on to feeling. I feel good. So the feelings get hurt, you hurt me. Because you're hurting my, when you hurt my feeling, you hurt me. So people regard the feeling as self. You know? And some perception also. I believe like that. It must be like that. I think it is like that. You perceive it, you know, that person is bad. You perceive the person as bad. You're so confident in your perception. Sometimes the perception also, remember, perception is also condition. So, it's understand. So, in simple terms, it means attachment. You hold on. You grasp it. Past, future, and present. When we grasp it, then we are not living in the present moment. But when we analyze it correctly, then it is correct. But again, this is a question people say, oh, Pachupanna, the Buddha say, here, now. Now. This one, I cannot explain better than Parapsychology. Parapsychology explained, he gave very good talk. You can search for it and ask them to search for it. I saw it before. The Buddha explained the word, Parapsychology explained the word Pachupanna. Present. And I suppose some of you here who have already practiced Vipassana, you already know the meaning. You see, when we take the past lives, past five aggregates, let's say previous life, few two lives, three lives, four lives, five lives ago, 100 lives ago, 1,000 lives ago, you take the five aggregates as object. How was the mind at that time? When you didn't grasp the attach to the five aggregates. Is there any difference when you see the anicca, dukkha, anatta of the five aggregates of past to the present and the future? Any difference? No difference, right? You know, for all of you, some of you have practiced up to that, have practiced that before, so you know. The Pachupanna, at that time, when you take the past, present, future object from past to the future, all the fire aggregates, Any difference to your mind that live in the present moment? No difference. Exactly. You are, at that time, the mind is absorbed in the arising and passing away of the phenomena from past to future. That mind is the mind living in the present moment. Try and see. For other people may feel very puzzled. If you have not practiced up to that, you feel very puzzled. How can it be? How is it not possible? Yes, it's possible. It's a bit similar to when you watch a video, when you play back the history. Oh, the Second World War, First World War, When you don't attach, you just watch it. Any difference from you watching the live broadcast of a news? Somewhere, let's say some war happening in Ukraine or in the Middle East. You just leave it, you just watch it, the live one. Any difference from watching the recorded, film of a Second World War? Any difference? No difference. Because the mind watching is the present moment. But if you attach to the Second World War, you say, oh, the Japanese came to Malaysia, at that time Malaya, and killing some of my ancestors were killed. Oh, if you attach to that, and then you get upset with the Japanese people, then you see defilements arise. But if you take it just with the present mind, you just look at it as a history, as a record, without attaching to it, there's no difference watching that with a live one. You will not hate the Japanese, You will not take the Japanese as a whole, Their forefathers, they make mistakes. In fact, they also feel bad about it. Many of the Japanese people, they feel bad about it, except a few warmongers. But the majority of Japanese people are very nice people. They already repent from it. They don't want to repeat the same mistakes. I met many Japanese people. When I was wandering in India also, I went to the peace stupas. The Mahayana monks, taking care of the peace stupa, the Japanese peace stupa. They were so kind, so loving, because they learned from the past mistakes. But if we attach to past experience and think the Japanese are one and we hate them, we are not living in the present moment, not the Bhadrakartha spirit anymore. We are attaching to past experience. We don't have Joniso Manasikara, we don't have wise attention. We attach that. So, try to understand the essence of Bhadrakartha according to the suttas. Not if we take the short explanation, you cannot, it seems you think you understand. No. That is why in the suttas, they ask the Buddha to further explain the meaning. Many people take the gatha and just believe, oh, I understand it already. But the monks during the Buddha's time, they were so cautious. It seems they are very bright people, very intelligent people. Yet they didn't take the Dhamma, the very brief, very concise teaching lightly. They want to understand deeper. What is the meaning of not chasing after the past? Expecting future. What is the meaning of living in the present moment? What is the meaning? They ask further. When, because of the humility of these monks, they ask further, they got a very good explanation from the Buddha. Then the second Bhadrakartha Sutta is for the Ananda. The Buddha also tell the same thing. Ananda. The story, if you are interested, is good to read the whole thing. So at one time, even the devas tell the monk, this is a teaching, do you know that? And the monk said, didn't know. Then after learning, then check. Ananda went on to repeat the analysis in the previous suttas. That was taught by the Buddha. This one is the same, so we just go briefly. we just keep, just to let you know that there's another sutta like that. Then Mahakacana Badekarata Sutta. Okay, this is interesting. Okay. In this sutta, Venerable Mahakacana explained very wonderfully. Okay. Let's look at it. Look at such word of translation. So I have heard at one time the Buddha was, by Venerable Ananda, when he collected the suttas, he always start with this. So I've heard. So at one time, the Buddha was staying at Rajagaha in the hot spring monastery. Then Venerable Samiti rose at the crack of dawn and went to the hot spring to bathe. When he had bathed and emerged from the water, he stood in one robe drying himself. Then late at night, a glorious deity lighting up the entire hot spring, went up to Samiti, stood to one side and said to Samiti, "Monk, do you remember the recitation passage analysis of one fine night?" "No, Reverend, I do not." "Do you?" "I also do not. But you remember just the verses on one fine night?" "I do not." "Do you?" "I also do not." This is very intriguing. The deity, the deva, come to us, tell the monk, "I also do not learn the recited passage analysis of one fine night." This is Badekarata. "Memorize it and remember it. It is beneficial and relates to the fundamentals of the spiritual life." Fundamental, very fundamental. That's what the deity said before vanishing right there. Then when the night had passed, Samiti went to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side and told him what happened. Then he added, "Sir, please teach me the recitation passage and analysis of one fine night." This is Badekarata. "Well then, monk, listen, pay close attention. I will speak." "Yes, sir," Samiti replied. The Buddha said, "Don't run back to the past. As just on what we recite, don't hope for the future. What is past is left behind. The future has not arrived. And phenomena present are clearly seen in every case. Knowing this, fostered it, unfaltering, unshakable. Today's is to keenly work. Who knows? Tomorrow may bring death. For there is no bargain to be struck with death and his mighty hosts." There's no bargaining. You cannot bargain with death. "Please, tomorrow come. Don't come today. There's no way. If death were to come, death will come." The peaceful sage explained, "It is those who keenly meditate like this, timeless all night and day, who truly have that one fine night." It means the one who live in the present moment. I prefer to understand it in this way. That's what the Buddha said. When he has spoken, the Holy One got up from his seat and entered his dwelling. Soon after the Buddha left, those monks considered. The Buddha gave this brief passage for recitation, then entered his dwelling without explaining the meaning in detail. Who can explain in detail the meaning of this brief summary given by the Buddha? Then those monks thought, "This Venerable Mahakacana is praised by the Buddha and esteemed by his sensible spiritual companions." The good holy companion, the good companion. It's not always good to be esteemed. If you get esteemed by the fools, then this is not something to be happy about. That means if the fool thinks so highly of you, watch out. In the Buddha's teaching, we always care only about the wise opinion. We don't seek the recognition of unwise people. This is very different from what in the modern days. Modern day people want more and more people to respect them. Because of that, sometimes in order to seek the respect of the foolish ones, you act foolish. We have to act foolish. That's wrong. In the Buddha's teaching, you always notice that the Buddha wants us to take care of how the wise will look at me, instead of how the majority will look at me, not like that. Because it is the wise, they will understand us based on Dhamma. The unwise people will not understand us based on Dhamma. They will, in fact, when you are praised by the foolish, that means you are not much good. Be careful about that. He's capable of explaining in detail the meaning of this brief passage for a recitation given by the Buddha. Let's go to him and ask him about this matter. Then those monks went to Mahakacchana and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, they sat down to one side. They told him what happened and said, "May Venerable Mahakacchana, please explain this." "Reverence, suppose there was a person in need of heartwood. And while wandering in search of heartwood, he would come across a large tree standing with heartwood." Heartwood, you know, the center of the wood, huh? The useful part. When you have a big tree, it is the center part that's useful. The very useful one is the center part. Heartwood. Then he will come across a large tree standing with heartwood, but he will pass over the roots and trunks, imagining that the heartwood should be sought in the branches and leaves. Such is the consequences for the venerables. Though you were face to face with the Buddha, you overlook him, imagining that you should ask me about this matter. For he is the Buddha who knows and sees. His vision, his knowledge, he's the truth, he's supreme, he's the teacher, he's the proclaimer, the elucidator of meaning, the bestower of the deathless, the Lord of truth, the realized one. That was the time to approach the Buddha and ask about this matter. You shall remember this in line with the Buddha's answer. Then the monk said, "Certainly he is the Buddha who knows and sees, his vision, his knowledge, he's the truth, he's supreme, he's the teacher, the proclaimer, the elucidator of the meaning, the bestower of the deathless, the Lord of truth, the realized one. That was the time to approach the Buddha and ask about this matter. You should have remembered this in line with Buddha's answer. Still, Venerable Mahakacchana is praised by the Buddha and esteemed by sensible spiritual companies. He's capable of explaining in detail the meaning of this brief passage for recitation given by the Buddha. Please explain this if it is no trouble." "Well then, Reverend, listen and pay close attention. I will speak." "Yes, Reverend," they reply. You see, when the elders say, the younger people always reply. It is the respectful way. Venerable Mahakacchana said this, "Reverend, the Buddha gave this brief passage for recitation, then entered his dwelling without explaining the meaning in detail, don't run back to the past, etc. And this is how I understand the detailed meaning of this passage for recitation. And how do you run back to the past? Consciousness get tied up there with desire and lust, thinking in the past I had such eyes, such sights. So you take pleasure in that, and that's when you run back to the past. Consciousness get tied up, attached, with desire and lust, thinking in the past I had such ears, such sound, such nose, such smell, such tongue, such taste, such thought, such touches, such mind, and such thoughts. And you take pleasure in that, and that's when you run back to the past. That's how you run back to the past. When you run back to the past." Again, notice that Venerable Mahakacchana also explained in such a scientific way, which cover all experiences that you can possibly conceive. Instead of saying that, you think about that Chinese food or Indian food or whatever, the Western food. Then they say, "No, I don't think of Western food, I think of the African food." No, not like that. So, see, then it doesn't cover everything. But when the Buddha say, Venerable Mahakacchana say, these six sense doors formula, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind, and their objects. Now, if you attach to this, it covers all experiences you can ever conceive in your mind. Any experience can you imagine not covered by this? So you see, the scientific approach is very beautiful. Very beautiful. In fact, not only that, when he refers that, you can go down, deep down to the ultimate reality, that ultimate experiences of eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. And how do you not run back to the past? Consciousness doesn't get tied up with this. Okay? So eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Then, how do you hope for the future? The heart is set on getting what it does not have. Thinking, may I have such eyes, such sight in the future. May I have such ears, such sound. Have? Yeah, it happened. It covers also people. Want to have this. Imagine all the thinking about the future. Yeah. All experiences, any experiences you wish to get, you crave for in the future. You want to get wealthy, you want to get, yeah, to have your private plane or whatever. This is all involved in this. Eye and object, ear and object. You want to hear sounds, songs, you have a private singers, yeah. You know, some very rich people, they have their own whole team of singers just to sing for them, try to live like a king. That is also, and other people think, oh, I'm poor. One day, how nice if I can also have such a wealthy experiences of eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind of these rich people. If you think like that, you hope for the future. You're attached to it. Okay? And presently also, you get tied up in the present with desire and lust of the present object, of eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, you know, and mind. Okay? So, we won't go through it in details, because everyone, the meaning is the same. So, then at the end, the Venerable Mahakacharya said, this is how I understand the detailed meaning of that brief passage for recitation given by the Buddha. If you wish, you may go to the Buddha and ask him about this. You should remember it in line with the Buddha's answer. You see how humble our Arahant was, you know. He understands so well, and yet he was so humble. Please go and ask the Buddha if you remember it according to the Buddha's answer. Yes, Reverend, said those monks, approving and agreeing with what Mahakacharya said. They rose from their seats and went to the Buddha, bowed, sat to one side, and told him what had happened, adding, Mahakacharya clearly explained the meaning to us in this manner, with these words and phrases. Mahakacharya is astute, is wise. Monks, he has great wisdom. If you came to me and asked this question, I would answer it in exactly the same way as Mahakacharya. That is what it means, and that's how you should remember it. That's what the Buddha said. Satisfied, the monks were happy with what the Buddha said. This is the greatest praise the Buddha gives to any disciple. Sometime Venerable Sariputta also said, many of the teachings of the Venerable Sariputta were recognized by the Buddha in this way. Venerable Mahakacharya's teaching also approved by the Buddhas in this way. So when the Buddha approved, it's as good as the Buddha was himself. Okay? This is the greatest praise a teacher can give to a disciple. Very wonderful. And there's one nun who also received such a praise. The Bhikkhuni, Dhammadina. When her ex-husband asked her, ex-husband Visakha, and Anagami was curious whether the ex-wife, now a Bhikkhuni, has achieved high Dhamma. Then she explained very well to the ex-husband, who was Anagami. At that time, she was already Arahant. In fact, her answer was beyond the level of the Visakha, the Anagami. So in that story, Anagami, Visakha, took the teaching and went to the Buddha and asked the Buddha and say, oh, this is what was taught by Bhikkhuni, Dhammadina. Then the Buddha said, my daughter is wise. My daughter is in the same way, saying that if you were to ask me, I would explain exactly the same like what my daughter told you. That's why that is very beautiful. A nun, a Bhikkhuni, was also approved by the teacher in this way. So the Buddha said, I would say, explain to you exactly the same way. So that's how, when these powerful disciples, the wise disciples, was really approved by the Buddha. There's another sutta, Loma Sa Kangiya Badekarata Sutta. In the same similar way, let's read, see. This one also, also a god come and told the monk In the same way, two, there are four Parikaratthaka suttas. Two times it was told by the deva, telling the monk to go and learn it. Okay, so now, live in the present moment, past, present, and future. The key words is don't attach. It doesn't mean you don't care about past, don't care about future. In fact, when the Buddha taught Maranusati, recollection of death, that one day I will die. Isn't that dying is something in the future for a person? Why you want to do that recollection? Because to bring out the samvega, and also to overcome the fear for death and have the samvega, the urgency, knowing that one day we will die. So that understanding that of the future, what is sure to come, that will stimulate our samvega, our sense of urgency, in also that we can cherish this present moment more in a better way, more appreciatively, more useful, spend the moment now more useful, in a more useful manner. So the key is not that you cannot care about the past, care about the future, no. You make use of them, all these experiences, with the mindset of living in the present moment. With the mindset of pachupanna, live in the present moment. But we can take past object as object, can take future object as object. Okay? Can you understand, huh? Okay. Any things? I think it's clear. So based on just this Anattalakkhana Sutta and Bhadrikaratha Gatha, and these are four suttas, we have just highlight two. The one using five aggregates as a formula and the talk about past, future and present, and one taking six sense doors, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind with their objects and then as experience. Basically these two formula, they covers the same thing. All experience are involved. You cannot find a single human experience which is not covered by these two formulas. That means the Buddha wants us to regard all our experiences in the way of living in the present moment, without attaching, without hoping or whatever. No, just take them as they really are, as they arise, as they sustain, as they vanish. So this is the way how we should regard. But don't go to the extreme and saying that there's no possible to see past object and future object. When we do like that, we are committing dhammantaraya, the obstruction to dhamma. Don't do that. If you don't know, we keep quiet. Don't simply pass comment when we don't study enough or don't practice enough, and then affect other people. That is the karma is not so good. Don't do that. Let's learn, be careful with our words when we explain dharma. Nowadays, I find sometimes truth seekers, people who want to find liberation, halfway, somehow, because of the knowledge and then the pride, and without thorough investigation of the Buddha's teaching, through Suttamaya Panya, Cintamaya Panya, Bhavanamaya Panya, the wisdom of hearing and reflection, thinking, and then the direct experience wisdom, insight. Without going through all three stages of wisdom to understand the teaching of the Buddha, we just by logical thinking alone, then you see how dangerous it can be. You see how dangerous it can be. Just a few days ago, we were talking about the Kalama Sutta, Kesamuti Sutta. How the Buddha told us, even with reasoning, you have all the thinking power, logical thinking. May not, still, it's not conclusive to say that it is true. That's why we should regard the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha said three types of wisdom. Let us not hold on to one type of wisdom or two types of wisdom and pass judgment. We should wait. If you want to say anything, if you don't know enough, wait. Just listen, be knowledgeable, but that's not enough. Practice and meditate and realize. Then only we stay, and then only we teach is safer. Otherwise, we may create a lot of obstruction to Dhamma, and that karma is not so good. You know, not only we are affecting ourselves, our life, but also that kind of mindset will affect other people. Some people may, in the process, may come into to find the Dhamma, true Dhamma, but because of our misleading words, they sway away to the true path. That is a pity. So try not to do that. That's my message. Try to be careful with words. Nowadays, I find people so careless. You know, they want to pass judgment on this and pass judgment on that to show as if they are very knowledgeable. Should not do that. We should be humble. Let the teacher teach. If you don't know, say don't know. Yeah, even today also, sometimes when people ask me some questions, if I don't know, I'll tell you, I don't know, I cannot answer this question. Especially when people ask me about other sects, I don't care. We focus on teaching about our Theravada teaching. I have to compare these comparative studies of religion. This is not my interest. I know a bit, but I'm not interested in that. Why? What is the benefit? You know? Yeah, some benefit. Some people may appreciate that. But sometimes it's not conclusive. Because we still fall under the mistakes that is covered in the Kalama Sutta. We cannot commit those mistakes. So we should avoid that. So please, be careful. So live in the present moment. It's the mindset. If we always live in the present moment, it is easy to have yoniso manasikara, wise attention. And if we have wise attention, we always live in the present moment. Because this power, this kind of mindset, live in the present moment, free us from any grasping, any defilements arising out of that grasping as well. So that's very helpful. So be careful. And let the past be a useful experience for us. Let the future be a useful kind of a foresight or whatever for us. It's okay. But not in the way that we hold on to those experiences and for that reason build up a lot of defilements, great anger and illusion. So I hope this will provide an understanding about how we should regard past, future and present in a detached manner, without grasping, without holding on, so that we generate new cause of Dhamma power, new cause of purity, new cause which can enhance our journey towards the realization of Four Noble Truths of Nibbana. Okay? So I would like to stop teaching here. Okay. Idang me punyang asawa kaya wang hotu. Idang me punyang nibbana sa pachayo hotu. Mama punya bagang sabba satanang bajimi. Te sabbe me samang punya bagang labantu. Sadu, sadu, sadu.